Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 195.
This week on the podcast, Trump covers five abortion stances in a matter of hours. Who even knew there were five different stances that are all 100% wrong?
The only thing we currently know about the outcome of the GOP race is that none of these three goons are going to vote for each other.
Plus, Clinton is so tired of Sanders telling the truth about her record, and she's refusing to debate him until he stops.
And after seeing how well it went for Indiana, other states look to get in on the anti-LGBT law passing game.
And bet you didn't know that there's an entire list of 2016 GOP candidates who will make Trump or Cruz look like totally rational choices.
Plus, sinkholes are eating fish now.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right. You know where you can't find us? In the same city.
That's right. Welcome to another bi-coastal edition of Brain Trust Live.
That's right. We're getting marginally better at figuring this out.
Yeah, only marginally, though. It's not clear that the technology will ever be the same enough that we will be able to use our knowledge from the previous recording session to apply to
next. We at least knew that we had to Skype, though, because the last time it took us like a good portion of an hour to try and figure out whether we were supposed to be Google chatting or Skyping or using video iMessage.
There's too many different ways to talk to people, you guys. I remember when my grandfather was in the final months of his life, he got really up in arms about telephones helping people communicate too easily. And I feel like I'm having one of those moments right now. There's too many ways to communicate. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
We need to
stop.
Well,
we at least knew which one to start with.
That's right. And that's half the battle.
That's right.
But we couldn't let this week just pass by because this has been a pretty great news week. And also, we had to bring you part two of our Candidates You Didn't Realize Were Running series.
I know. Yes. You'll remember we did the Democrats last week, and at one point I texted Lila today, and I said, what if we don't do the podcast and we just read the bios of all 16 of these GOP wackadoodles?
It would have been an hour of your life well spent.
Well spent. We're not going to do that. We're going to actually talk about the news.
Right.
We don't have any results, so, you know, that's usually what we're excited about, but there was enough other total nonsense this week.
Exactly. We get to focus back in on some of our old, good old-fashioned news.
I know. We haven't had gay news in a long time. We're going to get there in a little bit.
No, we haven't.
Yeah.
Also,
but anyway, we're going to start with Wisconsin.
Yes.
Because that's happening
with some polls
on Tuesday. And the polls show that it is very close on the Democratic side. And because it is so close, things got a little tense this week. But the most recent polls have Sanders up by about 5 or 6 points. There was one that was released today that has him up by 2 points. So it's definitely going to be close.
But this was the week where he pulled ahead, because he was down by,
I think,
in some polls that were taken last month or so, he was down by like 10 to 20 points. So he's slowly creeping up on her and has now creeped past her.
People have always thought this would be a good state for him. You know, it's got a pretty big liberal streak. It sort of has the kind of like, you know, our trade laws have not been kind to it.
Right. It's very similar to Michigan in that respect.
Right. Exactly. So it's not surprising. You know, it would be, I think he probably hopes that he has a huge win, but any win, you know, just keeps the ball rolling. And that would make sort of like 6 of the last 7 or 7 of the last 8. And then they head into some of the bigger ones.
Yeah. There's a couple really big primary days coming up with some very large states. The day that New York votes on in May has a lot of other states. California in June will also have a lot of other states. So they're kind of prepping to go into some of these very large states and hoping that this will be the sort of win that gives whoever wins wants the momentum from it.
Right.
Not that momentum as it traditionally happens applies here at all. But
it doesn't.
But I guess in a theoretical sense, it's just nice to win things.
Yes, it
Winning
really
things is great.
It is, yes.
So, but in any case, they have been sort of going head-to-head this week over a number of ridiculous things on the Democratic side in preparation for this moment.
Right. The Democrats sort of reached the closest that they've been to their own version of the GOP race this week.
There were some
and
shenanigans.
It was a much tamer and more boring version, but they are starting to really kind of like snipe at each other, and I think that you can kind of tell that Hillary is just kind of like not really having it any longer.
Well, she's sort of losing her cool, which
She is.
It's something that she's want to do and something that's not that unexpected coming from her. But I feel like one of the things that she's been sort of trying to position herself as is this sort of like reasonable, mature one who can get things done. And this
right.
is sort of harming that impression.
It is. Because the reason that people are that impression has been harmed this week is because she got videotaped screaming at a Greenpeace activist.
Yeah.
Maybe not screaming, but certainly raising her voice.
Raising her voice and...
And pointing her finger in the woman's face.
And in doing so, misunderstanding where the woman's concerns were coming from. So she's at this campaign event. Someone from Greenpeace comes up to her. She's greeting supporters and, you know, whatever. And
right,
so
it's sort of backstagey. It's not like a formal question she gets asked or anything.
Right, exactly. But she's greeting supporters and she gets asked about donations from the fossil fuel industry. Because, as you might not be surprised to hear, that's one of Greenpeace's major issues. And she responded angrily by saying, "I'm so sick of the Sanders campaign lying about me. I'm sick of it." And she says this while sticking her finger in the woman's face. And, you know, she said, I have money from people who work in fossil fuel companies.
Right.
A few things. Obviously, it's kind of crazy that she just assumed this was some sort of plant from the Sanders camp, because it wasn't. It was a woman from Greenpeace. It had nothing to do with Sanders. Greenpeace has not endorsed a candidate. They're not planning to. You know, this was all, like, her sudden
fact that she had, like, such a strong, intense reaction to this woman being, like, a presumed plant from the Sanders campaign, like, makes you really sort of realize that she's, like...
She's spinning out into paranoia.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's a total paranoia.
That's a paranoia move because the Sanders campaign, as much as they are activists, are not like sneaky plant people. Like, this is not
the
reason
has been
that
on
she, when she gets
her
these,
for
these,
a long time. I mean, she should have just assumed that it was Greenpeace.
Exactly.
At this point.
And every time that this happens, she seems to try to point a finger at the Sanders camp as if there are not legitimate other interests that are concerned about her.
Well, right.
I mean, because that's Greenpeace is one of them, but I mean, she sort of tried to make the same assumption when Black Lives Matter did this to her, and it was like,
yes,
no, this was a concerned person, a concerned citizen. But more importantly than all of this, the woman who asked her the question was asking for a reason, because the idea that Clinton is being supported by the fossil fuel industry is not a lie.
Yeah. No, it's not. And that's the thing, you know, in Clinton's response, you saw she obviously has her response, you know, all lined up for this, because after she, you know, stuck her finger in the woman's face, she said, I have money from people who work for the fossil fuel companies. And she's right on a technicality there, because her campaign can't take money from fossil fuel companies. Like, you just can't do that. You can only take donations of up to $2,700. But what you can do is you can have people that her campaign calls hillblazers, who are the people who are high money bundlers for her. And she has a lot of those. And at least 40 of them are registered lobbyists that they had to disclose to the Federal Elections Commission. And they're all former lobbyists for the fossil fuel industries.
Yeah.
They're raising hundreds of thousands of dollars for her.
Yeah.
And just because they only gave her $2,700, which is still a lot, and it's the maximum, that doesn't mean they're not people who work for TransCanada, which is the company that would have benefited from the Keystone Pipeline. Or people who once lobbied on behalf of ExxonMobil, or people who once lobbied on behalf of BP. I mean, so she's right on a technicality, but she's also really bending the truth in a sort of classic Clinton way.
Yeah, well, and this is not also, this is aside from the fact that her super PAC has gotten like million dollars from the fossil fuel industry in the past. So her campaign directly is not allowed to take money from companies, and because of that is not, nobody's campaign is, but she's raised something like $300,000 from people who work in energy and gas, many of them giving her the maximum donation. Bernie Sanders has raised $50,000 from people who work in that industry, most of them giving small donations, most of them not in management or bundling for him.
Right.
So there's a pretty significant difference between how they're having to, how sort of like responsive they have to be to that industry, which is the point.
Yeah.
Then.
Well, and I got in an argument with
Someone
about this, and I was, you know, he was like, this is that everybody wants to, all the Hillary people want to think that this is a non-issue, and I get why they think that it should be a non-issue, because they don't want to talk about it. But he said to me something to the effect of, like, well, we don't know that she's going to be beholden to them or anything. And he said something like, you know, Obama took their money too. And he was like, he's good on climate change. I was like, yeah, he's good on climate change, but he's not great on fracking, and he's not great on offshore drilling, and he's not great on domestic drilling either. Right. And I would think that that is at least in some part to the fact that he took a bunch of their money.
Of course. I mean...
So, I like... Yeah, I do think it's an issue. It's a big issue. If you want to say that climate change is the biggest threat to humanity, which I think is something that she likes to say from time to time again, then you can't be doing this.
No, and it also... She's continuing to misrepresent what the difference in fundraising means, which yes. is annoying to me. I feel like she does this... That's
well, because she doesn't want to say what it really means, obviously.
No, of course not. Who would want to say that? What it really means is that she's beholden to almost every industry, yeah. including some industries like oil and gas that are yeah. not that trendy right now. But
yeah, exactly.
But I mean, it also, you know, the idea that she would get so worked up about that when she's the one taking the money. Like,
well, I know.
Like... She's the one who has something to answer about. The idea that it's some sort of attack on her when people point out what her record is.
Well,
is
I know.
Insane.
Yeah.
And she pissed off people even further this morning on Meet the Press when she said that she, quote, felt sorry for Sanders' young supporters who believe his attacks.
Ugh.
But
felt sorry for them.
Yeah. Extending on from this is the fact that Bernie has requested a debate with her in New York, which, as you know, is one of the more important primaries that's coming up. It's the first time probably ever that the New York primary has been truly contested and mattered. So people in New York are very excited about it.
I bet.
And Sanders thought it would be a good place for them to debate. I mean, both of them have roots in New York. He's from New York. She was the senator from New York. You know, this that seems logical. One of her top campaign aides said some wacky things about a possible debate in New York.
Yeah,
on CNN.
Wacky things this week.
This was like the theme of the week was Hillary Clinton trying to attack Bernie Sanders for attacking her.
Yeah.
Her Joel Benison, who's the aide, was on CNN and said, I think the real question is what kind of campaign Sanders is going to run going forward. He pumped $4 million in the weekend before March 15th, and he lost all five states. They spent about $4 million on negative ads. And then the interviewer was like, what does this have to do with the debates? And he goes on to say, we'll see what kind of tone he sets. If his campaign wants to run the kind of negative campaign and run negative ads like they did in North Carolina and Illinois all over the country on March 15th, that's going to be disappointing to a lot of Democrats who feel we have to start focusing on Republicans. But so in any case, there's a few things. One is that they don't want to debate her because they want him to, quote, change his tone, which is a kind of hilarious notion coming from them.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And also, like, I mean, what is she... Is she going to request the same thing of Donald Trump if she's in
right.
the general election?
I will only debate you if you don't... If you change your tone to be more respectful. Like, oh, can you not stand up to Bernie Sanders's quote-unquote attacks? But you're
yeah,
thinking
exactly.
you're the
well,
best person
attacks,
to run against Donald Trump?
As we just stated, too, are not attacks in the sense that, you know, he's, did what Ted Cruz and Donald Trump are doing, where they're, like, talking about their wives. He's talking about the fact that she, you know, took a couple hundred thousand dollars in a speech to Goldman Sachs.
But
which
also,
if you're most voters on the Democratic field, that matters.
Also,
so,
that's not an attack. Talking
that's
about
not
her
an attack.
Actual record is not an attack. If
yeah.
talking about her Iraq war vote and paid speeches and, you know, Wall Street and, you know, all of the many reasons that people are concerned about her candidacy because of her compromised positions on a number of issues due to corporate money that she's receiving.
Yeah.
That's not an attack. That's
no.
just highlighting a difference between them. That's allowed.
That it certainly is.
Joel Benison also told reporters that he expects Bernie Sanders to, quote, campaign like a Brooklynite, while Clinton would, quote, campaign like a senator.
What?
So we had a lot of speculation about whether... What campaigning like a Brooklynite entails. Does it entail campaigning in plaid? Does it entail campaigning, you know? And was
With
is
an
the
ironic
comment
mustache.
Meant to be anti-Semitic or anti-hipster or anti,
yeah.
you know, who knows what that meant.
Yeah.
But hilariously, Clinton's campaign headquarters is in Brooklyn, and also she was just on Broad City. So, like,
yeah.
I don't know that she's one to judge.
I know. Yeah.
In any case.
Oh, boy.
There's also been an interesting thing going on in Nevada. which, as you may recall, Clinton beat Sanderson by about 5 points.
Right. Well, you're recalling incorrectly. Well, you're recalling correctly, but that's no
You're
longer the
recalling
case.
past facts correctly and current facts incorrectly.
Right. Because what happened was this weekend, the county conventions were held in Nevada, and Sanders ended up getting 2,124 delegates to the state convention, and that is 55% of the total delegates. So, wait, what? Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's right. And the reason why is because less than half of the 9,000 delegates elected at caucuses turned up on Saturday to actually vote and pick their delegates to the state convention. So Sanders picked up a couple
This is
delegates.
like
It
a
was
real.
25 to 20, and now it's roughly 18 to 17. We don't have the full final totals, but like it's basically, Nevada's basically a tie now.
This is a real Ron Paul style move.
It totally is.
This is how Ron Paul ended up with so many delegates when he tried to storm the convention and his delegates staged a protest from inside the hall. It was county, like when we at these caucuses, they're electing delegates to go to other conventions that are going to elect new delegates to go to other conventions. And it takes a while for them to actually get to the national stage. And in that process, a lot of shenanigans can go on.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, we're
Well,
going to see
and
a
I
lot of
think we're going to
this.
be bringing a lot more stories like this because this is sort of the first, at least on the Democratic side, that we've seen. There are already reports of this going on big time on the Republican
Of
side.
course.
Whether, because there's the whole Stop Trump movement, and there's also, Ted Cruz just being an evil genius, and there's, of course, Trump is trying to eke every delegate out he can. So all of these conventions are happening sort of right now. And so I think we're going to be seeing and hearing a lot of stories about some craziness going on at these conventions to elect the delegates to the national convention, which is fun.
I think that Ted Cruz is going to be the Ron Paul of this year.
Oh yeah, and he has, but Ron Paul what won like 20 delegates or something like that.
Right.
So,
Yeah, Ted Cruz has actual delegates to win. But I think he's going to try to pull the same sort of procedural shenanigans that we saw Ron Paul pull. So that should be interesting. Also, the Sanders fundraising numbers for March were bigger and better than ever before.
We're crazy.
He raised $44 million in March. His last
Which was
campaign
more.
high was in February, and that was $43.5 million.
Right, exactly. And March was, he had the good string, and I think that's probably where a lot of the fundraising came in. But like, I think a lot of people were surprised by this number because March was a little bit of a mixed bag
Yeah,
for him.
there were some disappointing times in March.
There were really were.
But he still had 2 million individual donors. They contributed 6.5 million times. Like,
That's
that means that most of
crazy.
those people donated more than 3 times.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's
I
bonkers.
probably did.
I mean, I did. I keep getting things on my credit card statement where I'm like, what is this $27? Oh, God damn it, I did it again. Like, I'm like
Are you leaving a
forgetting
tip? Are you
all of my
tipping at Clue?
donations, and then they're like appearing on my credit card statement, and I keep being like, where am I spending $27 so often? And then I remember.
Oh
So,
boy.
guys, spending is a bad habit and it's hard to break. So,
It
that's
really
a word
is.
of advice
It's
from me
better
to you.
than online shopping,
Yeah, I mean,
which
this was online shopping in a sense.
it's true. It's
It's,
online presidential
yeah, it
candidate
was
shopping.
online presidential shopping, which isn't a, that's the best way to shop.
I agree.
It's the most important kind of shopping you
You
can
made the
do.
right choice too, so that was good.
No, I know. I feel good about it. Plus, in order to be relevant to the Clinton campaign, I would have had to donate $100 at a time, and that I cannot justify.
Oh, more than that, honey.
I mean, right. But like the when she goes on about how she's raised $800,000, most of it with donations under $100, then
I
it's
know.
like that's then she's saying in order to even be mentioned, you have to donate
Right,
$100.
exactly.
Sanders campaign, you can donate $27 and not even really notice it. You can buy dinner, it's like not going to dinner for a night. But $100, like that's a real investment. I would have to really think about that. I wouldn't be able to accidentally donate like 9 times at
No, you
$100 a
wouldn't.
pop.
No, you wouldn't.
So, some other news.
Interestingly, Bill Clinton said this week that he would use his superdelegate vote for Sanders if Sanders ends up with more delegates, which sounds like a bit of a no-brainer, but as we've talked about on this podcast, we're a little concerned that the superdelegate system exists to keep someone Like Bernie Sanders
Well, we're not
from
just
being the
concerned about it,
nominee?
we're certain about it.
We're certain about it. Well, and the reason that we're
That's a
certain about it is because
fact-based
there are a
thing.
lot, the reason that he said this was because he was being asked about the fact that there are people who are New York superdelegates who are saying that they will not switch to Sanders even if he gets more delegates.
Right, which is
So,
some
you
bullshit.
know, good for Bill for, you know, setting the example there, because like there are definitely people who, regardless of whether somehow Sanders comes back to get this or not, are not going to flip for him, and they're going to make damn sure that Hillary Clinton is the nominee.
The superdelegate system was created to stop another 1968 from happening. Unfortunately, it might be causing another 1968 this year. It's unclear.
I
But
know, right? Yeah,
that was
who could
technically
have
what.
seen that coming, though?
Right, I know. It wasn't great forward thinking. But that was
Yeah.
technically what that was all about.
Yeah.
On the GOP side, we also have polls from Wisconsin. They show Cruz pulling away a little bit. I mean, Wisconsin would be, I think, a no-brainer Kasich state if Kasich was doing anything.
I
But
know. Well, and he's actually polling
he's pulling better there
pretty
than most
well for
places.
him.
What?
I said he's actually polling pretty well for him.
Yeah, for him.
For him. I mean,
He has a
still
lot in common
a
with Scott
distant third, but
Walker.
like at anywhere between 15 and 20%, which is like, you know,
Right.
good work,
It's
you.
borderline relevant, but it's not quite. And
But not, yeah.
the person that's polling higher than him is Ted Cruz and also Donald Trump. So he's still in third place at 10 to 20%. But Cruz is pulling away, which I think is maybe, I'm not really sure. Like, I don't really know enough about Wisconsin to know whether they have a Trump streak in them. I do know that about some of the other states coming up. New York definitely has a Trump streak. He's
Yeah.
definitely speaking to a certain kind of voter in New York. I understand who those voters are. I know why they're voting for him. I don't think they're right, but I also don't think that they'll stop. But in Wisconsin, I don't really have as good a sense of like what the Cruz versus Trump, characteristic breakdown is.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but I do know that, you know, this was one of the states that they felt like the, you know, the Stop Trump movement could pick up, and they have really been going for it big time here. I mean,
Yeah.
you know, they are really making a huge play for this, and they need it big time. I mean,
Absolutely.
it's Trump can't win this one if they are trying to get him from the actual number that he needs.
Yeah.
So, this is like, you know, I heard somebody on Meet the Press call Wisconsin the GOP Waterloo. Like, it's crazy there right now. I mean, they're really, this is the most that they have tried to take him down anywhere specifically yet at this
Well,
point,
because they're
because they
going
have
into
to
a
have
bunch
it.
of bad states for them. The map doesn't
Yeah,
look great for them.
exactly.
Like I said, New York is not natural Cruz territory. California is not going to be natural Cruz
No.
territory. I think that a lot of the Trump talking points will actually really resonate with people in New York. I don't think that they're smart or well thought out, but I think that the type of voter who votes Republican in New York votes for someone like Trump more than they vote for an evangelical nutbag.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they sort of have to establish some momentum for their Stop Trump movement before these other states vote that don't really have the same evangelical streak that
Right.
the South did. They kind of.
Luckily for the Stop Trump or the Never Trump or whatever
Yeah, he handed
movement.
them some victories this
Yeah, I was going to
week.
say they he's the Trump is doing it for them this
Yeah.
week.
Yeah. I've always said that the only person who can stop Trump is Trump. Like, Trump can stop himself. I think
Yeah.
we might be able to stop him via making fun of his short fingers, but that's really all we can do. Trump is capable of taking himself down, though, and he's working hard at it this week.
Yeah, he really is.
As you might recall from a few weeks ago, Trump's campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, there was a video of him grabbing a Breitbart reporter and like, at a campaign event on March 8th, and then kind of aggressively giving like I don't know it was an aggressive grab. I was going to say that there was another step, but there wasn't. He just very aggressively grabbed her, and he got charged by Florida police with simple assault this week. So this was Michelle Fields. This is why Breitbart suddenly came out against him after being one of the many dumb news sources that was kind of propping up his campaign up until now. But you remember those reporters from Breitbart came out against him a few weeks ago, and it was related to this incident where, there's been a lot of talk about security and Trump's staff being too aggressive with reporters and with dissidents. Not dissidents. I don't mean to say dissidents like we're in Cuba. I mean protesters. But this was one of the ones that I think because it was like this like sort of you know, made up female reporter that got like aggressively grabbed, and she was from Breitbart.
Right.
It made a lot of news.
Yeah, it did.
So in any case, Trump has been hitting the road slash the Twitters, defending Lewandowski. He called him a decent man on Twitter and said that the surveillance video shows, quote, nothing there, and then
Yes,
was
he's
on the
been calling
road
him like the
defending him all
most
week.
maligned person ever this week.
Yeah. But it's not a good look for him, especially as he had one of the most hilarious Trump issues in history
Oh
in
my
this
God.
last
This was
week.
hilarious. He got, I mean,
Here's,
he was, yeah, we'll just start at the beginning.
we'll
I
start
was
at the
losing my
beginning.
words because I didn't even know where to begin because this story goes over the span of a few days and it just gets more ridiculous as it goes.
It
So
begins on
go
March
ahead.
30th. It begins on March 30th at 2:30 p.m.
Yes.
He's getting interviewed and gets asked about abortions and says that women who receive abortions, once the procedure is illegal, will face punishment and that the men involved will not. The comment leaks. Then
Yes.
at 3:30, he's at an
One
MSNBC.
hour later,
1 hour
people,
later,
same day. The interview has not even aired
before,
yet.
right, because, oh, sorry, this interview was at an MSNBC town hall. It was with Chris
Yes.
Matthews.
Chris Matthews,
Then,
yeah.
an hour later, before the town hall has even aired, a spokesperson releases a statement changing what Trump told Matthews, saying,
Right.
"The issue is unclear and should be put back into the states for determination. Like Ronald Reagan, I am pro-life with exceptions, which I have outlined numerous times. I'd love to know where." Then, at 5 p.m., so this is an
One and a
hour and a
half
half,
hours later.
right, an hour and a half later, his campaign releases a more formal statement regarding abortion, which is different than both what he said to Matthews and what his statement said he said to Matthews. It says, "If Congress were to pass legislation making abortion illegal and the federal courts upheld this legislation, or any state were permitted to ban abortion under state and federal law, the doctor or any other person performing this illegal act upon a woman would be held legally responsible, not the woman." So this is the pro-life movement's position. This is saying that doctors who perform abortions are going to be held responsible for performing abortions,
Right,
not the
this is the
women.
sort of the mainstream Republican
Yeah.
thing that
Position.
they think here. They don't, most people the initial thing that he said about women being punished is actually further right wing than most
Far.
people in the
Yeah.
GOP at least claim
Also,
to be.
it's
They
what
might actually
everyone
be,
in
but
the right wing secretly thinks.
well, right,
Including
exactly.
George,
But that's not
including
their
Jeb
that's not
Bush.
the official stance. The official
Remember how
stance is
Jeb Bush
not to
wrote,
punish the woman.
Jeb Bush wrote in a book that he, in like the 80s, that he thought that women who had premarital sex should be publicly shamed.
Oh, that's
So, you
right.
know, I mean, this is
Yeah.
not out of line with what they're
No.
actually thinking. It's out of line with what they publicly think. Fortunately, even though I think that that would have been a good resting place for him to stop talking about abortion, the next day at 6:30, he thought, why not? Why not go at it again?
Say something completely different.
CBS released an interview at that time with Trump. It aired Sunday morning, where he's asked again about abortion. And his position seems to change yet again. "The
Yeah.
laws are set now on abortion, and that's the way they're going to remain until they're changed," he told the reporter. "I would have preferred states' rights. I think that would be better if it would be better if it were all up to the states, but right now the laws are set. At this moment, the laws are set. I think we'll have to leave it that way."
So that pissed off all the people on the right, obviously, because now he doesn't even want to overturn abortion because we already have laws on the books.
He's just resigned to the way things are.
Right.
Or was
So,
until
but like the
9 p.m.
Susan B. Anthony list, like, said that that disqualified him as being the
Right.
GOP nominee if that was actually his position. So then he had to backpedal from there yet again a couple hours later after that.
This is all about, by the way, this is still before the program has actually aired. So he's once
Correct.
again releasing a statement to clarify something that has not yet aired that he said in an interview. He said, "Mr. Trump," this is his campaign, this is his campaign. "Mr. Trump gave an accurate account of the law as it is today and made clear it must stay that way now until he is president. Then he will change the law through his judicial appointments and allow the states to protect the unborn. There is nothing new or different here," which is my
I
favorite part, because after the
know.
2-day roller
Nothing to see
coaster
here.
of five different positions on abortion to land to end their official discussion of abortion with "there's nothing new or different here" is
And he
just
was able to piss off everyone along the way, too.
literally everybody. Nobody got out of that
Women, the
unscathed.
far right, I mean, the pro-life movement, just got it all in there.
It was a classic Trump scenario. Well, what's so funny is that what I've been hearing from people, not necessarily Trump supporters, but people who are trying to explain the Trump phenomenon, is that they always say, yeah, but the thing that I like about Trump, or the thing that people like about Trump, is we know where he stands. We
Oh,
know
right.
what he thinks. They love saying
But
that.
he doesn't even know what he thinks.
He just spent 2 days going through five different positions on one of the most commonly asked questions in presidential politics. Like,
yeah, well, and this, I mean, if you watch the interview, you can tell that he doesn't know what he thinks or what he's supposed to say. Yeah. I mean, like, there's this moment that is almost like definitive where he's like, yeah, punishment, and then almost like waves his hand, and it's like he's just sort of like, well, yep, that's it, you know? And like he didn't know the right answer. He didn't know anything. He
well, with him, the
does.
Right answer is always punishment. I was reading a CNN article about his philosophy on life, as laid out through his many ghost-written books, and almost all of them are about how you have to exact revenge hard and fast on any of your enemies to make sure that they know not to mess with you. So punishment is central to his personal ethos, regardless of the circumstances. So that's something to keep in mind as we go forward. Suddenly his behavior makes sense when you think about it that way.
That's
he literally,
true.
There was a quote, and I can't remember what it was, but it was something about him finally learning the value of his instinctual reactions instead of his thoughtful, instead of thinking about things. He was he said something like, there's beauty and instinct. I can't remember what the quote is, but it was like a quote that basically was like, that's when I learned not to think about things and to just act.
Like, oh, God.
He had an epiphany
one day.
Yes, that's
what we want in a president.
That's exactly what we want. Just nonstop action, no thought.
Yep.
Thoughts for wimps. in any case, also this week, during the CNN town hall in Milwaukee, all three Republican candidates were asked to state that whether they would support the nominee, whoever it was. They've all made this pledge in the past. None of them renewed it.
It's so good.
This is something
and that is new, because it's been within the last month that they have all been asked that and said it.
Yeah.
And they've said it after some pretty ridiculous things where you think that they wouldn't have said it.
No, but
so
apparently
this is a reversal for all three of them.
This is a week where they drew the line.
Yeah.
They're not fucking around anymore.
No.
So this should be an exciting next few weeks, especially as we move through Wisconsin and to New York, where Trump is ahead by a zillion percentage points, obviously.
All the points.
Like, every point. But this is not surprising. This is home turf. He understands how to talk to the kind of person that votes Republican in New York.
Yeah.
It's also showing, though, that Sanders is closing the gap with Clinton pretty dramatically. He was down by 30 to 40 points in the last month. And a CBS YouGov poll taken this week put him down by 10. Quinnipiac has him down by 12. So he's closing the gap pretty rapidly. I don't know whether there will be time, but I think it depends a lot on what happens in Wisconsin and whether, you know, what we see go happen with sort of the Clinton campaign ethos crumbling in the meantime.
Well, and this is the reason why Wisconsin is so important too, because he needs to win Wisconsin going into New York to keep this going. You know, he's not going to win Wisconsin by enough, and the Clinton campaign will remind you this at any chance they get to eat into her delegate count.
Right.
He's going to maybe get 5 to 10 more delegates at best out of Wisconsin.
But this is
if he wins, depending.
The thing is
you have to win Wisconsin, and then you go, and then if you can win New York, and you can win California, even if you haven't won them by enough to get the delegates, that is when you can make the case to people to be like, look, I'm the better person to be running in the general election.
Yeah, well, and also I think that one thing that we have to remember is that momentum arguments have failed repeatedly in this campaign. So there really is no way to sort of predict what
That's
the effect
true.
Of Wisconsin
no, you're right.
will be. You know, I think the Clinton campaign wants you to think that because they're looking for any chance they can to shut him down. But he's time and again proven that momentum doesn't mean anything. He lost five states in a dramatic loss and then turned around and won five more by like 50-point margins. So the way that momentum is working now doesn't necessarily have anything to do with how it's worked in the past. I think it's a different kind of momentum. And I think that it's going to work in unpredictable ways. I see challenges for him in New York, but I also, if he suddenly took New York, it wouldn't knock me over, you know, I wouldn't be that shocked.
Right.
I think I see challenges for him because there's so much money here and Wall Street is here and There's a lot of, because of that, Clinton has roots here just as he does, but her roots are a little more politically focused and his are more like my parents were from here focused. So his appeal is much more sort of like to everyman New York, and her appeal is to money New York. And we're seeing, you know, we've seen time and again in terms of how the press covers de Blasio that money New York really has a lot of sort of control over what happens politically here. So I don't know what happens to him here, but I also am sort of wary of buying into any more momentum discussions because they don't seem to ever, things aren't happening the way they normally happen here. And I see a world in which if he doesn't win New York, he wins a bunch of states where we're like, really? And then we don't know what to do with the win because he ends up with more delegates coming out of the New York day than we expected. You know,
That's true.
There's just
what it sounds like, and I think his campaign has even sort of now broadly said this, is that he needs to win some of the states like this to be able to say, all right, superdelegates or all right, you know, state convention people or whatever. Let's say he does win New York, he's not going to win yet again. It's another state where he's not going to, you know, it's
Massachusetts. It's not going to be a huge,
but if he wins, then he can be like, guys, I won New York. Like, hello.
Right. Yeah, totally. Oh yeah. No, I see the value in that. I also just like, though, every time that I hear some sort of prediction that's like, well, if something doesn't happen, then this won't happen. I have to be like, wait a minute, Lila, don't get sad. You don't know what's going to happen. No, none of this is making any sense.
Right, exactly. He could lose Wisconsin in a dramatic upset and then win New York in 2 weeks, which would be weird. But
he could literally
could
lose every state on the New York day and win every state on June 7th and still probably have enough delegates to win. Like, we don't, you know, the biggest delegate haul with the biggest states is still the last day of voting. So, I mean, this is exciting though, you guys. All of our votes are counting. You gotta get to the polls. You gotta really do it. You can't justify your vote not counting in this year. It's too exciting.
That's right.
So many things. Here's some other things that are exciting but terrible. Basically every state in the South is passing anti-LGBT laws.
Right? Did they learn nothing?
First of all, we've said this repeatedly. The fastest way to ensure that your state has gay marriage is to pass a ban on it. So I'm guessing that the fastest way to ensure equality for gay people and trans people and anyone else in the LGBT umbrella is to ban everything.
Yeah.
It's to ban all of it.
That's true.
Last week, North Carolina passed HB2. That was that very harsh law that basically, it bans a number of things. Among them, it says that school restrooms and locker rooms have to be single sex and that you have to use the bathroom that matches your biological sex. It says the same thing about public agency restrooms. This is all just like part of this ridiculous notion that we should like stop trans people from using the quote unquote wrong bathroom because of fake reasons that have to do with people not knowing any trans people, apparently. This also states that local laws governing employee rights and non-discrimination practices are preempted and superseded by state laws.
And the reason that that is in there at all, and this law, the reason that this law probably exists in the first place, is because I believe it was Charlotte passed, you know, some of these laws that this law is trying to supersede.
Yeah,
it's so
anti-discrimination.
They are basically just like trying to make sure that these, you know, the states don't get up to any.
That discrimination can exist freely anywhere.
Right. Exactly.
But it prevents people from bringing civil action based upon the state's employment non-discrimination protections. So it means that, and it also, the protections were amended to assert that limiting bathrooms according to biological sex is not discrimination. So basically, you can't sue anyone for discrimination anymore if you're gay or trans, because the state itself is forbidding it, and even if your local municipality thinks that that's wrong, they can't do anything about it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
So everyone's pissed at North Carolina, and a bunch of cities and states are just banning government-funded travel there entirely. And that list, I think on Friday, grew to include D.C., but it already includes San Francisco, New York, Seattle, Portland, as well as the states of New York, Vermont, Connecticut, and Washington.
Yeah, and a lot of businesses and companies and things like that, and a lot of studios shoot in North Carolina, and they are all threatening to take all the business out of the state as well.
There's a big pharmaceutical company that was going to build a research facility in Durham County and just announced that it might not.
Right.
Lionsgate shoots a lot of stuff there, and they are continuing production on something that's already in production, but there was a pilot that they decided to move to Canada. The Stephen Schwartz, who was the composer for Wicked, Pippin, Godspell, and Children of Eden, among others, is saying that he and his friends are trying to make sure that no theater is able to produce any of their shows anymore in North Carolina. So the people of North Carolina might be without Pippin for a while.
And God.
Think about what would happen then.
Seriously.
It could really cause things to fall apart.
I just don't understand this because, like, we have seen this movie before.
I know. It's so crazy.
I mean, Mike Pence is currently not running for president because of this.
Yeah.
It's political suicide. Like, if you're Pat McCrory, like, I don't know what on earth your plan is.
Well, I think, like, that it's political suicide nationally, but it's not. It's sort of the last gasp of this crazy movement locally. And I think that because of that, you can misunderstand the implications of it when you work in local government. So I think that these politicians live in a world where they only deal with North Carolina politicians. And because of that, they think that people are accepting that there's a really active movement in favor of this, and they don't realize that what's coming around the corner is literally zero people being in favor of this.
Right.
In their own state and elsewhere. Because young voters just aren't trying to have this nonsense.
Yeah, it's hard for them to
sustainable. So they're trying to ban everything before young people get the chance to be involved. Because then young people will be like, who the fuck cares what bathroom you use?
Like, yeah, seriously.
Whatever. First of all, this is troubling because, as you may or may not know, depending on your gender, women's rooms have very long lines, always. And because of that, women are often in emergencies using the men's room. I've done that in schools, I've done it in public buildings, I've done it in restaurants and other public places all over America.
You gotta go to the bathroom, you go in the stall, and then that's that.
Yeah, I've done it in bars. I mean, wherever you are, there's a chance that you may have to use the men's room. And if this becomes a blanket ban on me, a woman, using the men's room, or any woman using the men's room, what I see is a discrimination suit from women claiming that there's not enough fucking bathrooms for them. Like, this is ridiculous. I mean, who has the energy for all this?
I would like you to bring that suit.
I would love to bring that suit. I think that they're not... This is a very short-sighted law because, as many things, in their effort to discriminate against people unlike them, they've accidentally discriminated against women anyway.
Yep.
It's like whoever you decide to discriminate against, you will probably accidentally discriminate against women in the process. That's the life of being a woman. I feel like that's the life of being anyone who's part of a lot of different minorities, is that any time that someone tries to discriminate against one kind of minority, you somehow get caught in the crossfire.
Right. Yeah.
This is just another example of misogynistic pricks who are uncomfortable with their own gender issues and own, you know, feelings for the people of of the same sex.
Yeah.
And because of that, are trying to stop people from using the most convenient bathroom with the shortest line.
Yeah.
Some bullshit.
Well, Georgia vetoed one of those this week.
Thank God.
One of those bills, which was really pissed off.
Very out of character.
Because that's a Republican governor.
Yeah. Well, no, it was because Disney and the NFL...
I know.
Both basically were like, we're going to fucking leave this state. Disney has been filming a lot of stuff there because there's big filming tax breaks, and they threatened to pull business. The Atlanta Falcons knocked the bill and hinted that it might hurt Atlanta's chances of hosting the Super Bowl in their new stadium. And Coca-Cola and Delta, which both have big presences there, also spoke out against it.
Yeah.
So the governor finally was like, you know what? Let's slow our roll a little bit.
Yes.
But none of this has stopped Mississippi from considering sweeping legislation of a similar
kind.
Their bill is, I think, the worst of the three of these.
It's the worst. Yeah, no, it definitely is.
And their Senate has already passed it. The House has already passed it. I think that there's some procedural stuff that they have to do because they didn't pass the same version of the bill. And the governor there has not said whether or not he'll veto it, but he has said that he doesn't think the bill is discriminatory. However, their bill allows for you to discriminate for almost any reason against anything. It says that you can refuse service to LGBT people if doing so violates your, quote, sincerely held religious beliefs. But that includes the conviction that marriage should be between a man and a woman only, that sex should be
Yep.
reserved for marriage, that male or female, that male and female refer to an individual's biological sex as opposed to their anatomy. I mean, you can sort of interpret that. I mean, the way that I sort of understand this law, you can interpret a teenage couple that you suspect might have had sex once to also be worth discriminating against.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if
if
they're
that's
straight.
If
or,
sex before
or a
marriage
couple, or an elderly
is a
couple,
sincerely
for that
held
matter.
Belief, then yes.
I mean, if you're, it's your sincerely held belief that, you know, that women and men shouldn't be able to walk together in public, then you can also discriminate against them according to this
right.
law. But
yeah.
It protects religious organizations from declining to perform marriages, but also, like, protects them from refusing to hire or if they fire individuals for violating their religious beliefs. It protects them from choosing not to rent or sell property to people they don't agree with for whatever reason. It protects them from providing foster care or adoptive services to people that they don't want to for whatever dumb, sincerely held reason. It allows any person or business to choose not to provide counseling or medical treatment. What about the Hippocratic Oath?
What?
You can't allow doctors to not treat people because they don't agree with them. You can't be
no,
like,
that's...
doctors take an oath that prevents them from deciding not to treat you because you're gay.
That's crazy.
And it also prevents protects people from if they want to refuse to provide wedding services to people,
oh, sure.
to same-sex couples. And also, it allows people or businesses to impose, quote, sex-specific standards or policies concerning employee or student dress or grooming. And it can also police what bathroom you use, obviously, because that's what this whole thing is about, is the paranoia that trans people are taking over our bathrooms.
God.
Which is...
And state employees who want to... Or who issue marriage licenses
can, yeah.
would also be able to deny their services without consequence.
That means that it allows state officials to be above the law.
Right.
Which is, it is literally their job to serve a function. They're bureaucrats. They're not...
Yeah, and it is the law.
The law of the land is that you can... that you are required as someone whose job it is to provide marriage licenses to provide them to a same-sex couple if that is
yeah.
who is seeking one.
Yeah.
It is not your right to determine that they cannot be married because the law allows for it. You are the one breaking the law if that's what you do. So in any case, the Democrats are saying, you know, they're saying that the Republicans are saying this is about same-sex marriage, but if that's the case, why does it include, like, adoptions and discrimination in medical services? And they're sort of like, we did this, you guys, and it didn't work, so stop it. But
yeah.
obviously the Republicans disagree, and it is on Phil Bryant's desk, or it's going to be, the amended version is going to be voted on in the Senate, and then it will reach Phil Bryant's desk. He's the governor
right.
there, and we don't
he
know what he's going to do.
He hasn't said whether he's going to veto it or not, but he has said previously that he didn't think the bill
yeah.
was discriminatory. So that doesn't sound great.
Hilariously, though, another thing that happened in Mississippi this week is that gays can now legally adopt there.
Right, because a federal judge ruled this week that their previous ban on... Why are they trying to put it into this new bill, too? Because at the time they were writing that bill, they already had an adoption ban.
I know.
They
well, maybe
to,
now
they
can
love
refuse
that gay
to
ban.
Provide
so,
adoption services to lesbians who've had babies. Maybe they're hitting it from all ends now.
Right, I guess. But anyway, federal judge threw that out. They'd had it on the books for 16 years, and they are now the 50th state. We can adopt,
Right.
I can.
Brent Thornburg can adopt children in all 50 states now,
in all
so
all
get ready,
states.
Guys.
That's right.
This is, first of all, just another example of how banning something stupid it just results in it being legal.
Right?
Like... This is an absurd thing to think about adopting. And also, I mean, were they having a problem with gays trying to adopt in Mississippi?
Right?
Who were the gays in Mississippi that were trying to adopt babies there?
I don't know, but they should move someplace
they should
else.
Leave Mississippi.
Not because they shouldn't be able to
they
do it there, because they absolutely should be able to do
of
it
course.
There. But, like, that's really, that's a lot
that's,
in Mississippi.
You're putting yourself
that's,
through quite a thing
yeah.
by living
and
in Mississippi.
And your children.
It's like... This isn't the right place to raise children, clearly, because they're trying to stop LGBT people from, like, using the bathroom anymore. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is not the answer.
Yeah.
In any case, isms of various sorts are alive and well, so that's great to know. And
yes.
the South is having a last gasp of bigotry. Once again.
Let's hope it's a last
I mean, it's never
gasp.
The last one is the problem.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
It's just another gasp.
There'll be something else.
Okay, this, by the way, is the part of the podcast we're most excited about. We have finally reached the moment where we're going to tell you about the 16 Republicans, 13 of whom you've never heard of, that are still running for president. This, you may be familiar.
I was, so the first guy on the list, as I was taking notes of this, I was like, this guy's my favorite. I don't think he is, actually, because
no, the
I
next guy
ended
is the
up
best
with
one.
Like,
and then the guy
I
after
ended
him
up
is
with a lot of
too.
Favorites
Yeah,
by the time
a lot
this
of
is
these
over.
People are great.
Yeah. But the first guy, his name is George Bailey. He is an African-American pastor, and he's from, Mississippi. And he likes to boast that each of his two ex-wives have accused him of being a, quote, fool for God, and he credits them for their truthfulness.
Hilariously, though, this guy is basically suffering from every kind of chronic medical condition that exists.
Yeah.
He has type 2 diabetes, hypertension, and asthma. He takes 12 prescribed daily medications. And he claims that God has healed him of leukemia 3 times. to which I ask, if God is so great, why does leukemia come back twice?
He's testing him. He's testing George Bailey.
Well, God sounds like kind of a jerk if that's what he's up to. I wouldn't be a fool for somebody who gave me leukemia 3 times. But
yeah,
to each their own. Next, Michael Bickelmeyer. He has the best job listing of any of the candidates, Democrat or Republican, that we've brought you. And that includes the guy who listed his job as job creator.
That's right.
Because Michael Bickelmeyer lists his job as creative dreamer. The master of management degree from the University of Phoenix Online, so he's highly qualified. And if you're wondering why he considers himself a professional creative dreamer, it's because he's invented... He's invented a number of insane sci-fi sounding things. But
sci-fi sounding things.
Three of them
yeah.
in particular are wackadoodle crazy.
Yeah.
We have a square-shaped airport with steam-heated runways at an industrial facility, an industrial facility in the center that would be used for recycling, die casting, and manufacturing. I don't know why a president would need this idea, but here we are.
Well, I don't either.
He also proposes an independent industrial recycling plant utilizing 5 high-volume furnaces, which will be used for the recycling of a variety of materials, including glass, plastic, and steel. Crucial to his platform is that both of these would be powered via clean energy and produce no carbon emissions.
Well, that has no place
so
in the GOP
So I don't know what
field.
He's doing in this party.
If it's not powered by gas, I don't know what the fuck he's thinking.
No, it's ridiculous.
And the third of his big concepts is maybe the most questionable, although those two were pretty questionable themselves. But he, in what he calls a, quote, gift for children, he's proposed an orbital weapons platform that would function by the collection of solar radiation, which would then be magnified and directed to the surface as a lethal beam. He's like, he's invented a laser from space.
He's a laser beam.
Yeah.
A space laser.
Yeah. Using radiation.
Yeah. He thinks
it
that
could
it could
be potentially as precise as to eliminate a single personal target or as broad to affect entire countries. I don't know how. It's like, this guy's not a scientist,
no,
by the way.
Just make,
it's important to remember he has his management degree from the University of Phoenix Online.
Right.
It's worth noting.
And
that
his profession that
fact
is
again.
Creative dreamer. So he's not a professional scientist. He's a professional fiction writer, is what it sounds like.
Yeah. He's also big. He's a big opposer of legalizing marijuana because, it quote, we already have people with thinking problems in this country.
That's awesome.
The big overarching, there a few of these guys were sort of boring. There's this guy, Skip Andrews, who doesn't really have much to say other than that family should be a marriage between a man and a woman. One of the overarching things that we found between all of these crazy candidates is that they're all religious wackos.
Yes.
So some of them sound just sort of like generally boring, but they're also just like, you know, your run-of-the-mill kind of like insane evangelical born-again wacko.
Totally.
Yeah.
We also
so there's another guy, Kerry Bowers. He's just also kind of like, you know.
Right-wing loon bag. Very anti-immigration.
Yep.
Supports.
Exactly. Wants to deport everyone
already
currently in the country.
Any of the most policies towards immigration that you can imagine are things he supports.
Yeah.
So, including... deporting people who are already here and physical restraint and opportunity restraint too. Like, stop yourself. Eric Kavanaugh calls himself
he's a curious one.
A Republican American progressive candidate.
Like what?
What does that mean?
I don't know.
It might mean it's unclear what it means. He talks he's another religious nut, but he's got quotes from the Bible and the Quran on his website. and makes reference to the great prophet Muhammad. He's in favor of a ton of liberal policies, including Obamacare, but he also says that we need to end the oppressive nightmare of the Obama administration and claims that Obama wishes to destroy America.
Yeah.
So he's all over the place and also very
anti-pornography. He's also very anti-pornography.
Which makes him sound like kind of a bore.
So he is no fun.
That man does not enjoy fun. No.
Nope.
I feel like it's fine to not be super into pornography. If you take a stance against pornography, you're no fun.
Let me have my pornography, for God's sake.
If you yourself are not into it, that's fine. To each their own. Maybe not everyone loves pornography. I couldn't know.
Yeah.
If you are taking an active stance against it, then you love it and feel guilty about it, and you're no fun.
Yeah, that's on you.
That's on you. That's on. If you're not enjoying pornography, don't watch it. Like,
yeah.
You don't have to care what other people are up to.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, Dale Christensen, another boring guy, an international entrepreneur and business professor.
He's
written some books, but he's just sort of a run-of-the-mill crazy person.
Yeah.
There's a CPA named Brooks Cullison.
Right. He's got it. He's sort of interesting.
Yeah.
Because he advocates for the formation of a unique American credo to unite, through democracy, the varied ethnic and religious groups that compromise the United States. Now, notably, he does specifically mention people of spiritual faith, such as Buddhism and Hindu and even Islam, but he suggests that only two documents besides the Constitution of the United States serve as the cornerstones of this credo, and they are the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes of Jesus Christ.
I don't know what the Beatitudes of Jesus Christ are. I certainly don't feel that this comprises the variety of spiritual faiths that he seems to imply could be a part of the unique American credo.
No. No.
So he's thinking about as broadly as I imagine most CPAs are thinking. If you spend that much time thinking about taxes, it's like, what's left? You know?
Yeah.
Josh Dumet, we'd talk about more, except that his campaign website is down. So he's just a hardline conservative with no experience, and we don't know anything about him. But here's a real treat.
This is probably the best guy.
Jack Feller, or Feller, I don't know.
Who knows?
He's 84. He's run in every election since 1988. I believe we had one of those on the Democratic side as well, who was that, he was the the guy who owns the gospel recording studio in Long Beach.
Yes.
And so, you know, he's been running pretty persistently, and he's run as a Republican in every one of those races, except in 2012. In 2012, he won the nomination of the Prohibition Party.
That's right.
He's into prohibitioning everything. Because he is both against into banning alcohol, as you can imagine, also into banning homosexuality.
Oh, yes. So as the candidate of the Prohibition Party, got to be on the ballot in one whole state, in Louisiana, and he received 518 votes.
Wow.
So he did it.
Yeah, he did
it. People got to vote for him for president, guys.
That's a real thing that happened in Louisiana, of course.
That's right.
In 92, he was asked to submit his political platform to the FEC, and sent them a copy of the 1611 version of the King James Bible.
That's the best.
So, political platform since 1992, potentially just the 1611 version of the King James Bible.
I know, right?
I would love to know.
And you know what?
What he interprets
Jesus
that to
mean.
Jesus
was drinking some wine, guys.
Yeah, that's true.
So I feel like his, you know, platform to ban alcohol is incongruent with his, you know, platform being the Bible.
I would agree with you there. I don't. As a person who knows near nothing about the Bible, I can only imagine that what you're telling me is true.
I have wine at church every Sunday, guys.
Right. And that's, your new church is pretty wine heavy, I feel like, because don't you have to do the Eucharist there or whatever it's called? Is it called the Eucharist? Did I get that right?
Yes. Oh my God.
I'm so knowledgeable about things, you guys. By the way, I got so many comments about our Easter discussion, which is funny because we have it every single year, but I think we have a lot of new listeners because of the elections. And so people were like, wow, that discussion about Easter. And I was like, you guys, that's like the fourth time we've done it.
I talked to my mom and she was like, really, zombie Jesus and Murder Friday? I was like, people need ways to remember these things.
Otherwise,
mom.
I mean, I feel that there's a 30% chance I remember that to almost next Easter.
Right.
But
that's
only
what
thanks
I'm saying.
To Murder Friday and zombie Jesus. That's the only reason. Otherwise, I would have forgotten it already. We wouldn't have made it to this week with me knowing.
Yeah.
In any case, back to the candidates.
Yes.
We have a business owner and veterans advocate, Jim Hayden, which, as you recall, we had one of those on the Democratic side too. He was also a Republican who was about cutting the size of the federal government, and this guy is too.
Yes.
He wants to cut the size of the federal government by 75% using the Constitution.
God.
I don't know what he plans to use it for.
Just gonna use the Constitution as a knife.
Right. Just
Just
cut through all that
gut
spending.
it.
Gut that
I don't
spending.
know. Yeah.
Michael Pato is a business owner and veteran who thinks that businesses shouldn't pay any taxes.
Yes.
He's pretty suspicious of the federal government. He wants to pass the 28th Amendment, which would require any law passed by Congress to apply equally to senators and representatives as to the people they govern. That
I think it does,
is
right?
all, that's already, I mean, they are just citizens.
Right.
If we choose to let them live above the law, it's not because we're supposed to.
Yeah,
We can enforce
exactly.
the law on them at any moment.
Yeah.
And then there's Brian Russell, an
he's
entrepreneur.
35, so he
Yeah,
would
he's
be
young.
very young.
He's an
He just
entrepreneur,
thinks that we he's a business guy too, he's an
innovator.
entrepreneur, an innovator, just thinks that we need a real outsidery guy with private sector experience to shape things up.
And
Yep.
then there's Jefferson Sherman. What a historical name he has.
It's a solid name.
He's listed as a common sense leader of something. We don't know what.
No, we're not
He
exactly
has
sure.
three core goals, which are more jobs, better jobs, and responsible, respectable foreign policy, and logical and practical government. I
Yes.
mean, those are all things I think we all.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not a
That's
platform.
not like. I would guess that anyone from any side of the aisle would be in favor of more and better jobs, responsible and respectable foreign policy, and logical and practical government.
Yeah, but what does that mean to you? Does
Right.
responsible, respectable foreign policy mean blowing up
Right.
all of Earth?
It could mean anything. It's your decision what responsible and respectable mean in this context.
That's right.
Also, his campaign website is expired, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so see you never, Jefferson Sherman.
Yep.
And then in final news, it's the return of Sinkhole Radio.
That's right. And
A
it was
disturbing
a
thing
terrifying
happened
one this week.
in China, where a lot of disturbing things happen.
Yes. Including disturbing sinkholes where they've swallowed people before,
Yeah, there was
by
one
the
at a
way.
bus stop recently that swallowed five people, so.
That's right. But specifically this week, there was this Chinese farmer, and he woke up to a shock when he discovered that tens of thousands of fish had disappeared overnight.
And we should note that fish cannot walk or fly.
That's correct.
That's something that I would assume you're familiar with, but if you weren't,
Right.
now is the time to know that. Fish
He said,
cannot
I
leave
quote,
water.
that's right. He said, I first noticed that the water levels in my pond had dropped at 4 a.m. one morning while I was inspecting my farm. At 9 a.m., most of the water and all of my fish had gone, drained into the sinkhole.
Then he
Just
added, it's as
gone,
if the fish grew
drained his
wings and
entire
flew
pond
away,
and all of his fish.
which they sort of did. I mean, they didn't fly away because we just established they can't. But
Right.
also, he was inspecting his farm at 4 a.m. That sounds like a horrible life.
Oh God, I know.
And
It's too early.
what did he like? What can you do once your fish are disappearing into a pond?
I have no idea.
There's no way to fix that.
No.
So sinkholes will come for you and your family, is the moral of the story.
It always is.
They're out to get you.
Whether you're in China or at an IHOP parking lot, you can't
You
know.
can't. Be prepared, and you can't be enough prepared for sinkholes. Also, you
No.
can't do anything about sinkholes, so it's
Right,
just like
exactly.
the world is a death trap.
I know. You can prepare for an earthquake, sort of, even
Right.
though they sound awful, but
They sound awful, but you can at least have some food and
you can
water
have some extra
handy,
water
and
and
you
some
can do the triangle of life and get into a
jerky hanging
doorway or
around or
whatever.
something.
You can't do anything about a sinkhole. It could come for you at any moment.
That's right.
I mean, the best you can do is if you see a sinkhole forming, you should leave.
Leave. Yeah.
Get out of there. That's.
Gird your loins.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the best we can do. So that's the news this week.
That's
We
it.
will be back next week, back in the same city, ready to tell you all about Wisconsin and everything to come.
That's right.
We will hopefully not have to bring you a sinkhole story, but we won't cross. It's possible.
Yeah, we're not going to promise anything.
We may bring you news of all of the independent candidates that are running for president,
Oh, that's a
because
good idea, because I
that's
bet there's some nutty ones there too.
totally
Like, who's the
and.
prohibition candidate this year?
Exactly. And there's also some respectable ones because we can talk a little bit about Jill Stein.
Oh, that's
So that's going to
true.
be a real roller coaster. So get ready for that.
Yeah.
And until then, be good. Remember to vote if you're in Wisconsin.
That's
And,
right.
stay away from sinkholes. Okay, bye.
Well said.